Welcome to our third quarterly community safety meeting. I'm Officer Megan Drake, and I am in the Crime Prevention Unit here at the River Forest Police Department. We are happy to bring this meeting to you live and on Zoom. Published slides and video recording of this meeting will be made available after this presentation. We will begin by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Before we get started with tonight's presentations, we will have a word from our Chief of Police, Jim O'Shea.
Good evening and welcome to those out there watching online tonight. And for those in the audience, and I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules for this quarterly crime prevention meeting. Today is Wednesday, the 31st of July, 2024, and is currently just a little bit after 6 p.m. Before I read off our agenda tonight, I just want to compliment the community a little bit. We've been seeing a lot more of our youngsters and even adults wearing bicycle helmets, and some of the teens have taken advantage of our Bon-Bon coupons and Slurpee coupons that we've been giving out. But it's excellent to see those helmets actually on the heads and not being carried on the bicycles. And we have seen some improvements there. I also want to compliment definitely the general public, where we've had some accidents with injuries where people have stuck around past passersby and assisted those victims till fire and police personnel has gotten there. And this is great to see. Great to see humanity and civility at work out there. Tonight, I'd like to talk about just introducing our agenda. First, we're going to hear from Ricky Schwartz, who's the business development specialist at River Edge Hospital. And he's going to talk about River Edge's hospital services. And we're going to hear from our own Marty Dozen and Lane Neiman, who are our traffic officers, and are going to talk about the traffic safety challenge that we participate every year. And Megan Drake, who everyone knows, our crime prevention officer, is going to talk about the services we provide through the police department to the public, and also some upcoming events. And we'll hear, of course, from Detective Sergeant Justin Labriola, who will talk a little bit about some crime trends and also some statistics. At the end, as always, we don't leave here till we've answered every question presented by the public, either online or here in the audience here at the Village Hall. And if we don't have an answer immediately, of course, we get back to that person right away. But without further ado, I'd like to introduce Ricky Schwartz, who is the business development specialist for River's Edge Hospital.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's really a pleasure and an honor to be here and talk about River Edge Hospital and mental health services. They're really incredible and in big need going on right now. So, can you see my PowerPoint up here?
No, we cannot.
Okay, I forgot to do share screen. My mistake.
That'll do
Okay.
it.
There we go. How about now?
We got you.
Beauteous. Okay. So River Edge Hospital, it's an incredible place. We treat over 6,000 people a year. We treat them inpatient, we treat outpatient. We have a myriad of services. I'm just going to go through them kind of quickly, give you a little history about it. River Edge Hospital wasn't always the hospital that it is today. Today, River Edge Hospital is owned by Universal Health Services since 2010. We are a publicly traded entity, part of a publicly traded entity of Universal Health Services, which owns over 350 hospitals. Most of them, or many of them, are behavioral health hospitals. So, a lot of expertise, a lot of history, a lot of data, and we use all of that to offer trauma-informed care. So many of the policies and procedures that are at River Edge Hospitals have been emulated throughout Universal Health Services. So that's the leadership position River Edge has taken in the past 10 or so years. It's the largest behavioral health hospital in the state, River Edge. It's a 210-bed freestanding psych facility. So it's in Forest Park. I'm right near Roosevelt and First Avenue, just east of First on Roosevelt. And it's been there since 1962. And again, a full continuum of care. So Allison Davenport is the CEO. She's been with the hospital over 7 years, has been the CEO at a couple of different places and has been here more than a year and has made tremendous strides in the area of bringing awareness to behavioral health, mental health services that are here. We employ over 350 people. We're one of the larger employers in the area. And as you can see, we have many, many services that are here. I'm not going to be able to get to all of them, but I do want to touch on a few. We have almost everything in-house. So we are an entity to ourselves, pharmacy, dietitians, everything that we offer is within. Our doctors are contracted. We are staffed fully and in good shape to offer services to the community and continuing services to the community, excuse me. We also offer education. We're becoming a learning facility. So we have interns and externs, postdoc externs, and they're running programs and creating things in the hospital and being innovative. And it's really wonderful to watch, to see new things coming on the horizon for behavioral health, which is quite difficult. We treat a myriad of people, a myriad of ages. We have a large staff engagement. So we're an entity, we're a community, we are a facility. It's an amazing place, it really is. And it's run by really bright, bright, smart, aggressive people that really want to bring true services to the community and do bring great services to the community. So child and adolescent, we take kids as young as 4 years old. I mean, you ask yourself, what's a four-year-old doing in a behavioral health hospital? But you'd be surprised how many four-year-olds we have in the hospital that need psych stabilization. And that's what we do in our inpatient. We offer psychiatric stabilization. So the average length of stay in our hospital for inpatient is only about 9 days, right? So we have a lot of work to do in a short period of time. And we are using all of our resources, our community resources, police. We are using everybody in the community to offer our services and get people to a place of wellness. And by the way, on a referral satisfaction survey, people leave the hospital better than when they came in a better position to launch into their next phases of recovery and treatment. So process groups, skills groups, expressive therapy, nursing, journaling. We now have a new program that for chemical dependency, for substance use for adolescents. There are very few substance groups for adolescents. We just started a few months ago. So it's a big deal. And yeah, if anybody's interested, my contact information will be on this PowerPoint. So I would love to share more information about that. We also have intensive outpatient programs for adults where we can even offer transportation. It's unheard of in this industry that people are actually offering transportation, a major obstacle to treatment. So these are things that we're doing. We're using innovation. We're pivoting with the community needs. We are offering NAMI with peer support services. The first thing people want to know when they come to the hospital is, what's going to happen to me? So we have NAMI support services, people with lived experience that show them the road. Makes it a little bit less scary. You know, when people come into a hospital, they're traumatized. They've lost a lot. They've taken one of their lowest points of their life, and they're frightened. And we have these resources in here with trauma-informed care. People in the lobby, the maintenance people, stop what they're doing and greet people. It makes a big difference. We have a gym. We have activities. We have behavior motivation programs. So we also have community engagement. We offer continuing education units to other professionals. So things are happening. Our adult programming, a myriad of programs, individual therapy, group therapies. So again, we're not a stagnant facility that does the same thing with each patient. We are an innovative facility that is always looking to pivot to do the best that we can. So We take, again, kids very young. It says three. I have never seen a three-year-old, but I've seen plenty of four-year-olds, I can tell you that. Our adolescent girls unit is one of the larger units in the hospital and one of the busier units, so a lot going on with our girls out in the community that are needing stabilization. This is, again, our inpatient adolescent boys. It's a 20-bed unit, and again, average length of stay is 9 days, so it's not a long time, but it's enough time to get them a good diagnosis and get them on a wellness protocol. We have a general unit. We have a co-occurring unit, so we can actually take people who are using substances, depending on what they're using, how long, things like that, and we can get them stabilized and get them in a place where they can move forward. We are the only hospital in the state with a intellectual and developmental disability program for psych stabilization. So we don't want to be the only hospital in the state that has it, but we are. So the process for admission is a little bit different, but just so you know, we are able to do that. And we have a fascinating unit, an intensive treatment unit for the people who are in the midst of a psychotic break or a schizophrenic episode. And we can bring them to a place of stabilization so that treatment can be done. It's unbelievable. We also have a residential program that most people aren't even aware of. So it's a 14-bed residential program. It's state-sponsored for young men with sexually problematic behavior. But it's not just that. It's more that goes into it. But it's a residential program. Average length of stay there is 18 to 24 months. We provide them education, GED, whatever they might need. And then we find them placement in community and hopefully with job support. Outpatient services. Many of you might be interested in this. You can come into the hospital 24 hours a day, by the way, and get a level of care assessment. There is no charge for that, and at least you get a road. So I always say, if people are having first-time episodes, or if you're just unsure what to do, come to the hospital, call the hospital, call me, set up an appointment, or come in. Appointments are usually within a very short period of time. So if you know anybody in your world that is struggling, reach out. You know, don't be afraid to reach out. Make a suggestion, offer to allow people to know that this exists. It is intimidating. It's scary to come into hospitals, but we really do try to ease the road. And again, that's part of what I do as a community liaison. So what our programs are, the partial hospitalization program for children and adolescents. That's where we have our substance use track along with a partial program. So it's all day. They get meals, we have transportation. It's really a wonderful, wonderful thing. For adults, we have an intensive outpatient program. So meets from 12 to 6. Again, we have dinner, and we have done away with our adolescent intensive outpatient because we are just doing the partial hospitalization program post-COVID. And again, all our groups are live. All of our services are live. We're not Zooming unless for medication management. And again, if you're having trouble with medication management, call us. You know, we can get an evaluation done. We can get meds. We can get you with a psychiatrist. So all of these things are happening under the roof of River Edge Hospital. So, and again, you know, we're a trauma-informed facility that has been really copied throughout many, many hospitals. Service excellence is our mantra, and we have trainings on it, and many things that we assume will be common sense are not common sense. So we do need to be trained on what service excellence is and how we treat our patients and their families and how we wrap around services for them. Again, staff 24 hours, of course, we are a hospital. We do have an easy point of entry for all patients, walk in our front door. So assessments are done, referrals are done, and we can aid you in your journeys to wellness. Our medical director, Dr. Safdar, is a beautiful guy. He does wonderful work. He's a prince of a human being, and patient as can be. So kudos. We do offer a day of every day a person is in the hospital, our kids are in the hospital, they do get a day of school. So they're not falling behind necessarily in days attended academically. Of course, we are providing psych stabilization first, and we are offering education on a basis of what a patient, what a kid can take in at that time. So again, it's very, very sensitive to the needs of the students and the kids. So psychosocial assessments are done. Again, we have a very, very robust department, psych department, with postdoc interns and externs who are able to do these kinds of services that many places cannot do and have long waiting lists for them. We are really on top of discharge planning. When people come into the hospital, we're already making arrangements for their next move. So again, we do our best to make sure people are following up with care and they know where they have to go to get that care. Expressive therapy is the most dynamite department, I think, in the hospital. I've really seen people come in with our expressive therapists and people who are in really a bad way, and they're wrapped up, and they look like they're in a catatonic state. And I'm telling you, within a minute, and I'm not joking, within a minute, they can get people to open up, and we can begin a therapeutic process. And before that, you cannot. So it's amazing, well-trained, young, energetic. It's wonderful. Education, I told you about. Yeah, our children and adolescents will not fall behind in their days because of hospitalization. Psych services, so again, all of the psych services, intellectual functioning, autism spectrum, academic learning, school refusal, substance-related disorders. We try almost everything but eating disorder. So, and we can stabilize people with eating disorder, but we will send them out for treatment of eating disorder. RiverEdgeHospital.com is a very great website. There's a request for assessment on it. It's very brief. It's very short. It's not intimidating. People will call you back. That's my contact information. Feel free to reach out. Send me an email, a text is best, or call me. I do respond to all ways of communication. And our mission, again, is to bring people into wellness. So I thank you and appreciate the community and appreciate all the involvement from everyone here. Law enforcement is critical to our patient care and to our community safety. So thank you. I think I'm done. If anyone has any questions.
We have one question.
One question, if I may just reference, is Ricky the one, in case someone has a question, reference if they don't have a certain level of insurance or no insurance, that they cover some of the services. How does he kind of walk them through that process so they can kind of get the right information if they're looking to participate in any of those programs or talk about intake of a sibling or a child?
I could not hear the question.
Ricky, so the chief was asking, would you be the right person for someone to speak to if they were unsure about whether or not they have the right correct type of insurance to utilize certain services there?
Sure.
Or would you and then would you be able to walk them through kind of the path for them to be able to get into the right program?
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Does that answer your question? All right. Anyone else? Well, Ricky, thank you so much for taking time out of your evening for sharing your presentation with us and all of that information. We really appreciate it. So thank you.
Thank you, too.
Okay. Now I would like to introduce River Forest Police Department's Traffic and TAC Unit Officers, Lane Neiman and Marty Dozen.
All right, I'm Officer Lane Neiman. I have Officer Marty Dosen with me. We currently make up the Traffic Tactical Unit here at River Forest. This year, we had the pleasure of creating our entry for the Illinois Traffic Safety Challenge. The 2024 entry has to do with everything that the department did throughout the year of 2023. And it's kind of an opportunity for departments across the state to show the work that they did, both in traffic enforcement, roadway safety, community interactions, recognitions for different officers and things of that. It's also a competition, so you can win some prizes. Like we won that truck a few years ago, as you see on the screen. There's a few main chapters to it: policy and guidelines, training, incentives and recognition, public information and education, enforcement activity, and effectiveness. So you submit all of your numbers and different awards and things throughout the year of 2023 to then get evaluated by a panel of judges. So this year, our training, we do a lot of training here at the department. One thing we did that every officer here did was online training through the Police Law Institute on new traffic laws going into effect in 2023. One of those being an added consequence of community service for passing a stop school bus loading or unloading children. So that's added as a different thing there that can be given out. And then also, if your vehicle was reported stolen or hijacked, you would no longer be at fault for any fees or tow fines or tolls or anything like that, as long as it was proven that you reported your vehicle such. We also sent four officers to Evidence Technician School, which is a 40-hour program in the year 2023. I think right now almost half of our department are certified evidence technicians, but we use that on all types of crimes, not just crashes. But we can use it in major crashes to collect evidence, DNA, swab for fingerprints, helps us with recovering stolen vehicles and hijacked vehicles and furthering our investigation on that. As you can see here, we did give out some awards throughout the year 2023. Two of our most prominent violations that we see are occupant protection and speed. So as you see here, four officers throughout the year 2023 received awards for outstanding occupant protection enforcement. It's the four officers who wrote the most citations for occupant protection. And then as you can see, eight officers received awards for speed enforcement. We do more speed enforcement than any other enforcement throughout the village, so that's why more officers received awards. But those are the eight officers who issued the most speeding citations throughout the year of 2023.
Hello, I'm Marty Dose, and I am also part of the Traffic Tech Unit, as introduced by my fellow officer, Lane Neiman. A big part of the Traffic Safety Challenge is public information and education. Prior to Lane and I taking the job of Traffic and Tech, Officer Dan Humphreys was in the position, and he was tasked with providing the community with information and education, as seen in this picture of him presenting at one of last year's quarterly meetings. So just a bit of information on the Traffic Safety Challenge itself. You are normally graded on how you do as compared to villages and towns that have similar demographics as you. But Dan Humphreys did such a good job in 2023 that he won first place, which pushed our department into the champions bracket, meaning we're graded not only against other towns that had similar demographics and similar populations, but we're graded against towns who have much bigger populations and bigger resources. And we came in fourth place in the champions bracket. And that is with Lane and I having basically like a half of a year to put our own spin on the Traffic and Safety Challenge, and then the other half of the year coming from Dan's previous work. So this year we're looking to make a push to take first place. Again, now that we have time to implement our own ideas in the Traffic and Safety Challenge. Moving on to the speed aspect of the Traffic and Safety Challenge. Speed is one of the main issues that we face here in River Forest as far as traffic enforcement. It's a problem that we like to address, and we are proactive in stopping people who are speeding throughout our village because obviously it's dangerous for everybody involved. We utilize three solar-powered fixed panels that show people their speed while they're driving, tell people to slow down if they're aggressively passing the speed limit. And then we also utilize two mobile speed trailers that we can place wherever we see fit, whether it's from citizens' complaints or just something that we notice on a routine patrol, people speeding aggressively in those areas. As far as traffic stop outcomes, As you can see, we had 5,500 traffic stops done by patrol in the year 2023, and that led to a large amount of traffic arrests, 371, and 30 DUI arrests. Only 1,050 warnings were issued from all those traffic stops. So as you can see, not only are we using traffic stops as education, but we're also taking enforcement action and citing violators as needed. Continuing on, you can see that operating uninsured motor vehicles is the number one citation that we issued. However, second is speed. And speed is something that we have a lot of, we can use discretion on. So if somebody is stopped and they don't have insurance, that's not something that we normally give breaks on, because we're not supposed to give breaks on that. But speed is something that we have discretion on, but speed is something that we take seriously in the village. And that's why you see such a high number of citations, especially in that category that's 21 to 25 miles per hour, which is pretty significant and pretty aggressive driving. As far as roadway crashes go, it kind of speaks to the effectiveness of our traffic missions here in the village. As you can see, there's been a steady downtick in the amount of traffic crashes over the last 5 years. Of course, 2020 being the year of COVID and less drivers on the road, that's going to kind of throw a little bit of a blip in the statistics. But year after year, we are decreasing the amount of traffic crashes that are happening in the village. And I personally believe that that has a lot to do with the amount of traffic enforcement that we're taking and the amount of visible presence that we have on the streets conducting traffic enforcement. And then continuing on with the amount of traffic stops. Now, the numbers that we showed were earlier were only from patrol side, but these numbers take into account our unit, our traffic and tactical unit doing traffic stops as well. So that number jumped from 5,500 to 5,980 traffic stops. So those other numbers are myself and Officer Neiman. And the number of traffic stops over the last couple of years has gone up significantly to the tune of, I believe, 28% increase in traffic stops from the previous year. So the amount of traffic stops conducted, you can see a direct correlation with the amount of traffic crashes that we're seeing in the village.
Thank you, Officer Neiman and Officer Dozen. Does anyone have any questions for them before? No? Okay. So I would like to move along now to discuss just a reminder about the River Forest Police Department's free services that we offer. The Emergency ID Bracelet Program, I know we have discussed in previous meetings, that's a great way for people to feel safer should they have someone that they care about that has autism, could potentially wonder they have someone with severe allergies. Those bracelets are free. They can be customized to wear with any of that important medical information on there. However, they will not disclose any of your personal information, such as your address, your name, etc. So please, my information will be on the end of this PowerPoint. Reach out to me if that's something that you are interested in for yourself or someone else. Our police officers, as well as the fire department, are all aware of these bracelets and are able to recognize them quickly. We also offer our frontline key holder portal. It's the same place you do overnight parking and the vacation watches. You can do the key holder portal as a resident or a business and provide any pertinent information that applies to that residence or business, so that should we receive a call for service there, we need to get in touch with someone. All of that information is stored, protected here at the River Forest Police Department so that we can access it. Hyundai steering wheel locks, we still have those that we are able to give out for vehicles that are Hyundais or Kias within a certain range of years. Child safety seat inspections, we do offer those, as well as our fire department. We have a number of technicians. iSearch and Too Good for Drugs are going to start up again now with the upcoming school year. And then the Junior Citizens Police Academy begins on Monday. So we are looking forward to all of that. And those are just a handful of the services that we offer here for free. Upcoming events, schools begin to resume as early as August 20th. Please keep in mind the uptick in traffic, bicyclists, and pedestrians as you're traveling. The River Forest Police Department will be participating as well in the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration seat check event that will be Saturday, September 21st. We will be located in the River Forest Town Center, and we will have technicians there to check and assist those in installing car seats properly in their vehicles. So as I mentioned, schools begin as early as August 20th. So there are just a few reminders. I wanted to go over a few different statutes. Remember that there are 20-mile-per-hour designated school zones in effect from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. on school days when children are present. The use of electronic communication devices, that includes cell phones, smartphones, tablets, looking at screens, and manipulating the devices. However, there is an exception for hands-free use. Obedience to crossing guards. Drivers must obey the direction of all school crossing guards or police officers. Pedestrians in crosswalks, you must stop and yield the right of way to any pedestrians within a crosswalk and at an intersection with stop signs. And lastly, one-way streets on school days. We have a handful of these in the village. They're in effect from 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. on school days. Additionally, if you could, please review your school's traffic plan and heed signage to ensure that you're not parking in student loading lanes or driving through the parking area. You may not block traffic by stopping your vehicle, waiting to enter the student loading lane, and do not block residential driveways while parking or loading. The police department will issue citations for any violations observed, so please keep those in mind. And I know Chief O'Shea touched on this a little bit earlier. We have seen progress in bicycle safety regarding helmets. We are still offering those coupons. We do still have helmets that we can offer to those that live, work, or go to school in the village that are 18 years of age or under. You would contact me for those. It is a village ordinance that anyone under the age of 16 is required to wear a helmet. There is a mandatory light on the front and a mandatory reflector on the rear of bicycles when you're riding at night. Bicyclists are responsible for all the duties that are applied to drivers of vehicles. It includes properly obeying stop signs and other traffic control devices. And then try to remember to ride defensively, or teach those you care about, your kids, siblings, friends, to ride defensively as close to the right-hand curb or the edge of the roadway as possible, except when they're overtaking another bicyclist or preparing to make a left turn. And now a word from our investigations unit, Detective Sergeant Justin Labriola.
Thank you very much, Officer Drake. That brings me to this next point. Officer Drake did talk about the upcoming school year, and it looks like we are about 20 days out. With that being said, this is another reminder to make sure that when your children do ride to and from school, they lock their bikes up at school, they lock them up when they get back home or put them in a secure location. We always have the tendency, especially I'd say probably around Roosevelt School, where a couple of bikes actually do get stolen throughout the school year. We do keep extra patrols in that area. We do have some video surveillance in that area, too, to help us out with some investigations. Also, looking at the school year, remind your kids about social media concerns. We want to make sure that we are monitoring our children's social media usage. There are a couple of companies out there, certain apps. I'm not an advocate for which one or another, but if you'd like to talk more, my information is always readily available. I think it's important to make sure that we monitor what our kids are doing on their social media and make sure that they are not bullying, are victims of bullying, things like that. The school year always, at the beginning of the year, poses some different types of challenges for each one of us, especially as parents. The summertime, it was relatively calm here within the village. There aren't really any crime trends that have been unusual from year on, year out. However, you know, if there does happen to be any issues or any sort of trends that you feel that maybe you heard about on social media, I always say that the best source of information is probably the source. So feel free to contact me. I could either concur or dispute anything that you may have heard. We know that the media at some points in times may exaggerate the truth. So if that happens to be the case and you feel that way, feel free to reach out to me directly. Again, my number is on the Village's website. I'm always here to answer questions. If I don't get back to you immediately, I will respond via email or the next business day. So again, that happens to be an issue. But right now, I think we are doing very well in the Village. Crime has been pretty steady. It hasn't been any higher than some of our neighboring communities. So this has been a good summer. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you once again for everyone that's out there watching online tonight or have attended here in our audience. This is the time of night where we see if there's any last minute questions that are coming in. I'd like to thank our speakers tonight, including a representative from River's Edge. They have increased services over the year and do provide really a great benefit to not just River Forest, but the other surrounding communities. Also, as a reminder, we are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365. If you have a question or concern, it doesn't matter if it's 10 o'clock at night, 3 in the morning, or 7 a.m. Please call out if it's not an emergency, 708-366-7125. If you're not sure who you should talk to, there's always a supervisor on duty. Please ask just to speak to the supervisor. They will come to you, to your residence, to talk to you about the problem. They'll talk to you over the phone. Or if you're in the station, the supervisor will come in from the street and talk to you. Luke, any questions coming from our online participants? Okay. Any questions from the audience this evening? Well, thank you for the compliments coming from our audience this evening. And we're coming up now to almost 20 minutes to 7. And it's a beautiful evening out. Hopefully everyone can get out and enjoy the rest of the night. And we'll see you next time for our next quarterly meeting. Good evening.